If you're here tonight lost and on your way to hell, you ought to be able to say, I'm blessed. Amen? Amen? You're blessed to have another opportunity to get saved.
Yeah,
yeah. Amen. Yes, you consider that a blessing of God. Appreciate that good singing. Take your Bible tonight, and some of you probably won't even need to turn there because you can quote it, but it don't hurt us to see it again.
Yeah,
I want you to turn to Psalms chapter number 23. Psalms chapter number 23. Just a simple thought. We're going to get you out early tonight. I think I may get caught up in a big way of preaching, just have myself a time. Amen. But as far as I know, this won't take very long. Psalms chapter number 23. I tell you what, I appreciate the Lord and the spirit of preaching He gives us in this place. Amen. Some places you go, it's just dry. Amen. Yeah, I mean, it's just dry, that's the way it is. I preach with different preachers all the time, and they'll have good content. And really, it's straight. It's doctrinally straight. But I don't know, but it just feels like there's something missing.
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, everything he said was right, and everything he said was good, but there was just something missing.
Yeah.
And I thank God that that's not missing around here. Amen. I'm glad God blesses us with a spirit of preaching, the spirit of worship, and I just praise the Lord for it. Psalms chapter number 23, the Bible said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me.
Amen.
Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
Amen.
Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Amen.
I was thinking the other day, I've just been reading through Psalms, and I read Psalms 23 the other day, and I thought about how many times I've gone in the funeral home. And you know, when you go in the funeral home, Brother Jay, and you sign the little book, you know, you write your name and address. And then behind that, they have the little cards, the little, I don't know the correct term for them, but the little cards talking about the person who's died, when they were born, when they died, and got all that information. And there's always a poem or a scripture. And as I read that, I thought about how many times that I had seen that on those funeral cards. So I went to my office. I collect or save those little cards from the funeral home.
Yeah.
And I've got a stack of them, and I've just been doing that for a couple of years, and I've got a stack about that high, Brother Charles. And I went through those, and did you know, to my amazement, about 90% of those cards had in them the 23rd Psalm. And I thought to myself as I flipped through those things, you know, the Psalms, it is a sweet psalm for a funeral or where death has been.
Yeah.
But it's not just a dying psalm.
Yeah.
I think more than a dying psalm or a scripture to die by, I believe the 23rd Psalm is a good scripture to live by.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I think it's some of the most beautiful words in the Bible. The 23rd Psalm. Tonight, with this thought, we'll bring the message. Is He your shepherd? Don't you think about it seriously. Is He your shepherd? We're going to look through this thing just for a few minutes. I'm not going to really do a verse by verse tonight. It's good to do that. But this thought tonight, is He your shepherd? Now, if He's your shepherd, there's some things in this psalm that will apply to your life. If He's not your shepherd, it just won't fit. Amen. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." I'm glad I can stand before you and testify tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. He's not just a good shepherd. Thank God. He's my shepherd tonight. I am one of the sheep of His pasture. He said the Lord is my shepherd, not was my shepherd, not will be my shepherd, but He is right now my shepherd. A shepherd is one who leads, feeds, and protects his flock. And I'm glad God is leading, feeding, and protecting me. Can I get a witness? He said, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore. He didn't say, therefore, I did. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How about that? If the Lord's your shepherd, you don't have to want anything because He's going to meet every need. Amen. Amen. Verse number 2, He said, He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. And watch this next statement. He leadeth me beside the still water. Look at verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Number one tonight, let me say, if He's your shepherd, He's leading you. If He's your shepherd, He is leading you. Hayden went home with us this afternoon and spent the afternoon. And normally I go home and take a nap on Sunday, but not when Hayden is with you. Hell, he got up in the bed with me, but we didn't do no sleeping. But he came back with me tonight, and Angie and Katie's at home sick, so I brought him, just me and him. We got out of the car, and I set him down, and I'm trying to get my Bible. And, you know, I ain't used to taking care of a two-year-old. You know, I set him down. I figured he'd stay right there and wait on me. And y'all come right ahead, babies. I got my Bible in my hand and something else that I had and his bag and his sippy cup and all that. And I turned around, yonder he went across the parking lot. I said, Hayden, stop. He turned around, grinned, took off again. So I went back and I got him by his little hand. I just stick my finger out and he'd grab it. I said, come on, come with Papa. You know what I was doing? I was leading him. He had an idea to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
There was something down there at parking lot that struck his interest.
Amen.
But he willingly took my finger and let me lead him where he didn't even think he wanted to go.
Yeah.
As we come in the church, everything caught his eye and he wanted to run off. By this time, I'd done broke the grip he had on my finger and I grabbed his. Amen. He stopped at the trophy cases and wanted to see the trophy. I'm trying to get to the prayer room. I unlocked my office door and put my cell phone and something else to put in the office and my keys and all that. And he got in my office and I got a 69 Camaro. It's a, I wish it was real. It ain't. I poured water on it to see if it'd grow and everything else. But it's a replica. It's about that big. And he comes in the office every time he does. He wants that car. I said, no, it ain't time to play with a car. We'll play with a car later. Come on. And I led him again. You know what I'm saying? If the Lord's your shepherd, He's leading you. He's leading you. It's none of your business where you go. The devil will throw every distraction in the world at you. And if the Lord's leading you, He'll say, no, this way. No, we're going this way. Hey, but every now and then a kid will break free. Some of y'all's broke free tonight. Some of y'all's broke free tonight and you've run off.
That's good.
Amen. He's leading me. Listen, let me tell you how He's led me in my life. When I was 4 years old and Brother Jay picked me up on the church bus on Route 2 Leggett Lake Road in the New Georgia community. We lived in a little single wide trailer, and me and my little newborn baby sister and my mom got on the bus, and boy, we got on there and we sang songs. The devil is a sly old fox. If I could, I'd put him in a box. Amen. We sung all them songs and we went to church and had a big time. That was fun. You know what? I didn't have any idea as a 4 year old boy that that was a part of God leading the direction for my life. I had no earthly idea. I had no idea at 4 years old that as a 19-year-old boy, I would leave a party about half lit and find the preacher and get him up out of bed and get saved in his front yard. But that was his leading in my life. He led me into a relationship with him. I hope you can say tonight that he has led you to a relationship with him. Listen, I did not initiate the relationship, he did. I didn't go looking for God. God came looking for me. And if you're here tonight and you're saved by His grace and by His mercy, you ought to think about the time He came where you was. Hey, when I could not come to where He was, good glory to God, He came to me. Somebody said He won't go to a party where somebody's drinking. You lying. If He won't, He made a special exception out of me because He came where I was. Amen. He initiated our relationship by His call, by His conviction, amen?
Amen.
By His compassion, and by His grace.
Yes, sir.
He led me into salvation. Thank God. Thank God. He listened, or He called, and I followed. But you know, with most Christians, that's where the leading stops. The average Baptist, especially in the South, and I don't know what it is about the South. I grew up here, and thank God I did.
Amen.
Thank the Lord I wasn't born up in the North.
Amen.
Amen. I have to preach up there. That's bad enough as it is. But the average Christian, I know there's some that are not the norm, but the average Christian, they've been led into salvation. And that's as far as they ever followed Him. You see, Jesus ain't going to jerk you around by the hand forever. Amen. For Him to lead, somebody must follow. I'm hoping there will come a day as Hayden grows, I won't have to hold his finger. He'll just learn that it's okay to follow Papa. And Papa ain't going to take him anywhere bad. And Papa ain't going to lead him anywhere that'll get him hurt. Papa ain't going to lead him to a dangerous place. Papa's going to take care of him. He'll just follow Papa.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When I was a little boy, I had a Papa too. Old Roy Fuller. Mountain of a man. Everywhere he went. I remember going across the pasture, Brother Greg, and I'd do my best to step where he stepped. Put my feet in his footprints. He was my hero, and I wanted to be like him. Now, I don't know about you, but if the Lord Jesus is your shepherd, you ought to be trying to walk in his steps. You know what he said? He said, follow me. If any man come after me, let him deny himself and follow me. Take up his cross and follow me. Amen. It doesn't stop at salvation. I'm glad He led me into salvation, but then He led me to a place of surrender. For some Christians, that happens simultaneously at the same time. I believe God can do anything He wants. I've seen people who've been in church all their life fall on the altar and get saved, and the next week announce their call to preach and start preaching like a wild man. You better be careful how you run your mouth about what God does. Let me say that. You better be careful how you... Well, bless God, he ain't been saved long enough. You ain't God.
Amen.
You ain't God. You better watch yourself.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul got struck down in the middle of the road and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It wasn't long, brother. He was taking the gospel to the Gentile.
Yeah.
We all right?
Yeah.
Some people surrender at salvation. I don't know about you, but I didn't. I surrendered my soul. I trusted Him with my eternal salvation. I trusted Him with heaven, but I did not yet trust Him with earth. In other words, I gave Him my soul, but I hadn't surrendered my life. I started driving a bus, running the same route that Brother Jay ran when he picked me up as a kid. One night at White Oak Springs, I don't know how long I'd been saved, maybe about a year, maybe two. I crawled up under the communion table during an altar call. And I put both my hands above my head and I said, Lord, I give. I give. As I sat on that pew that night during the invitation, that sweet drawing power of the Holy Spirit began to dig and pull at my heart. And I said, Lord, what is it? What is it? He said, I want more of you. I got you so, but son, I have a desire to do something with your life. So he led me to salvation, but then he led me to a place of surrender. We sing that song in our old church hymnal. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Hey, have you come to a place he's led you to salvation, but have you allowed him to lead you to surrender? Most folks, they accept that leading to salvation, but when it comes to surrender, it's when they jerk away. And want to run and do their own thing. Some of you, I'm still waiting for you to get in. One of our teenagers several years ago, her name is Roscoe now, but then it was Stephanie Speck. When her and her mom first and dad first started coming to our church, Stephanie was a good kid, but she was a little bit worldly. She didn't want to sing in the youth choir. She didn't want to go and do what the youth was doing and blah, blah. She was in and out. She was on and off, like a whole lot of you. On fire for God one day, the next day you couldn't even smell the smoke. I mean, you know the story. She was a senior in high school. We took a group to New York City. That's where we met Brother Freddie and Sister Shelley on that trip to New York City. We took together about a combined of the two churches. We took over 130 teenagers. We stayed at a Salvation Army, I believe it was, camp. That's where we stayed, in Riverdale, New Jersey. At that camp, every night we had services, and in one of those services, Stephanie came to the altar like she had done time after time after time after time after time after time. And she came to me that night after the service and she said, Brother Eddie, I have surrendered my life to the Lord. And I thought, yeah, right. She looked me dead in the eye. She said, no, something's different this time. And she's never turned back. Now she's married to a pastor's son living in Rochester, New York, doing a great work for God. Hey, here I'm here to tell you tonight, some of you, what's lacking in your life and that peace you're struggling to find is that you've not yet surrendered. Amen. He led me, Brother Jay, to salvation. But it didn't stop there. He wanted to lead me further. I've said it many times, salvation's just the entryway. You step in the foyer or the vestibule out there, you're in the church, but you're not all the way in. Amen. He led me to surrender. He led me to salvation. Then he led me to surrender. He didn't stop there. He led me into service. He said, now that I've got your attention, now that you said, here am I want you to serve me. Now that you've said, okay, Lord, you've got my soul, but now, God, I surrender my life. Oh, you better be careful. You better mean business, Lord. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. If he'd have said Africa, I'd be eating monkey meat tonight. Because I meant business. He said, I want you to preach the gospel. Wow. Would you ever thought that when you was paddling me in school? He used to paddle me and laugh about it. He would. He'd make you put your fingers up under your toes. I can't even reach them now. He'd make you put your fingers up under your toes like that, and he'll say, this is going to hurt you a whole lot worse than it's going to hurt me. That's what he'd say. You'd look over your shoulder, and he'd have this big old smile on his face right before he laid into you. Me and my friend Roger Bush in the 10th grade, we had competition one year, so who'd get the most whooping. Not a good idea, kids. I wonder how many times Jay laid that paddle across my backside. I'm paddling my pastor. I wouldn't have thunk it either. I am too. I'd let you whoop me again if I needed it. But one day, you could take the most rebellious child, the most wicked man, the most wicked woman in the world, that'll follow his leadership into salvation. and then follow his leadership into surrender. Billy Sunday, the great preacher, was a drunken baseball player, stumbled into a rescue mission in Chicago, Illinois, heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, got saved, but I thank God he didn't stop there. He surrendered his life to God. Some of us need to follow him on. He led me to salvation. He led me to surrender. Then he led me to service. And that has taken me all over the country and a couple other countries. Just that surrender, that service. Amen. He led us to salvation. He led us to surrender. Then he led us to service. Then sometimes he's led us to sacrifice. It never fails. I don't know. It's been probably a year or two since I've preached on tithing or giving. But I can mention money, and I can watch you grab hold of that wallet. You say, well, the Lord can have this part of my life and this part of my life and that part of my life, but he's got to leave this alone. That's not surrender.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes we take up those offerings. Boy, I'd be in a mess if we took up one tonight, wouldn't I? Sometimes we take up those offerings, and you know what you've got going on this week, and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and says, put that five in there.
Yeah.
That family needs some help. Put that five in there, and you look at your wallet and you go, bless God, I need some help.
Yeah.
And the Lord says, put that five in there.
Yes, sir, preacher.
And you sacrificially put that money in. Did you know there's never been a time in my life that I made some sort of sacrifice to God? He didn't bless it.
Yes, sir. That's right. Amen. Yeah.
And I say that again, I ain't talking about prosperity kind of preaching. I ain't talking about sowing a seed and all this stuff. But I'm saying every time in my life I've made a sacrifice, whether it was physically, whether it was monetarily, God bless that thing every single time. Sacrifice. You may not understand it, but sometimes going the way I go is a sacrifice. You say, don't go. He asked me to. You all right?
Yeah.
Don't go. No, he asked me to. Do you think I'll go and stay in hotel rooms all by myself in the bitter cold and the snow up to here while my wife's at home in my nice warm bed? You think I'd do that because I want to? But you know what? God has blessed that thing and blessed that thing and blessed that thing and blessed that thing.
Yeah.
God said, if you'll go, I'll make up for it. If you'll go, I'll make up for it. People have actually asked me, Brother Tommy, as much as you go, how does your wife handle that? I dare anybody to compare their marriage to mine and my wife's and say, you got one better. I guess I am bragging, but it's the Lord. Amen. It's the Lord. Oh, we've had our difficulties and we've had our troubles, but I tell you, the greatest thing in the world after being dropped off at that airport on a Wednesday morning is being picked up. The greatest thing, standing on that curb watching that little Toyota truck come around the corner, and boy, there she is, and man, it's just like a first date.
Yeah, man.
Amen. What do you say? I'm saying if you'll sacrifice and give God what God's asking you for, whether it be your time, your tithes, your talent, whatever it may be.
Yes.
If you'll give him what he's asking for, he will bless it.
Yes.
If he's my shepherd, he's leading me.
Yes.
If he's my shepherd, I'm following him.
Amen.
Let me give you a good indication to tell you whether or not you're truly following the Lord. Could you honestly in your heart say, I'm where I ought to be? I know you ought to be in church tonight, but you know what I mean. I'm where I ought to be. I'm doing what I ought to be doing. If we can't answer yes to that question, we're not following Him. Christ will never lead you away from Himself. He will never lead you to a lesser relationship with Him.
Yeah.
He will always lead you closer.
Amen.
Well, I used to be on fire. You quit following Him. I used to soul win, and I used to witness, and I used to pray, and I used to tithe, and I used to use. I hate to know I was admitting to everybody that I was a has-been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, it got quiet.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, some of you, I know you're saved. I don't doubt your salvation, but you've stopped following Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. He's my shepherd. He's leading me. Verse number 4, he said, "Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I like that little phrase, "for thou art with me." For thou art with me. Not only is he leading me, but he's walking with me. Am I right about it? He's not just leading me, he's walking with me. We talked about the valleys and the trials. He said, "I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." Yes, I've got to go through this valley. Yes, I've got to face this trial. Yes, I've got to go to the hospital. Yes, I've got to go in for surgery. Yes, we got to go to the funeral home. And thank God we don't have to go alone, for he is with me. Woo! Say amen right there.
Amen.
Can you imagine people going through some of the stuff that we've witnessed people going through these last few years without Him? I don't know how many times, just in the past year, in a hospital waiting room, an ICU waiting room, or in a funeral home visiting session, I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, "I just don't know how people do this without God."
Yeah.
What are they saying? "For thou art with me."
Yes.
For thou art. You know what the Lord said? He said, "I will be with him in trouble."
Yes. Yeah.
Not waiting on the other side. Come on, you're going to make it. I used to tell my boy when he fell, "Come here and I'll help you up." That ain't the Lord. Amen. He's not just leading me, but he's walking with me.
Yes.
"Lord, I don't want to go to New York. It's cold." "I'll go with you." "Lord, I don't want to go to California." "I'll go with you." "Lord, I don't want to turn loose that $5 bill." "I'll help you do it." "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." "Lord, I don't want to drive that bus." "I'll go with you." "Lord, I don't want to go knock on them doors." "I'll go with you." "Hey, he'll walk with you." "I don't want to go hear what the doctor's report said." "It's okay, son. I've got my arm around you. It'll be all right." "I don't want to go under the knife and have that surgery." "It's okay. I'll take the doctor's hand and I'll guide him every step of the way." Thank God he's not just leading me, but he's walking with me. Amen. My dad drove me on my trip to Arkansas. Matter of fact, I never got behind the wheel. When we left, it was daylight on Thursday morning. But coming home Friday night, it was pitch black dark, wee hours of Saturday morning. And I got a pillow and leaned it against the thing, and I said, "I'm going to try to rest a little bit." He said, "You ain't scared of my driving?" I said, "We ain't the only ones in here."
Yeah.
And he just giggled. I said, "I'm serious." I said, I've got a boatload of guardian angels, and they all on Prozac.
Yeah.
Say amen. Brother Freddie will tell you, they got to be. He said, "My driving don't bother you?" I said, "You want me to drive a while?" Amen. That stuff don't bother me, man. I lay my head on a pillow and say, "Drive it like you stole it, man. If God's ready to take me out, he'll take me out. But thank God he is with me."
Yeah.
I remember several years ago before I was pastoring full time, I was already pastoring. I worked for the Board of Education where I thought I saw Brother Michael a while ago. I don't know where he's at. Where Brother Mike Cato worked. And I was in the maintenance department. And I tell people I work for the Board of Education, they think I was a teacher. I just let them think, amen. Nah, I was a plumber. I was a drain surgeon, amen. But the Lithia Springs High School, I forgot what they call it. Maybe some of you high school, the Christian athletes thing. What do they call that? Fellowship of Christian Athletes. That's what it is. They had asked me to preach to their group at the Lithia Springs High School. I went and asked my boss, because I was an employee, I went and asked my boss if it was okay. He said, just don't wear no uniform. So I changed clothes, you know, right before, and they had it right at lunchtime. And I don't know if anybody's ever in here has ever been in Lithia Springs High School, but the lunchroom floor is up on a big level like this, and you go over to the edge of the back wall of the lunchroom, and instead of a wall, it's a railing like that. And you look over that railing, and you're looking into the performing arts deal. And that's where I was to preach at lunchtime. There was over 1,000 teenagers that wasn't there for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They were there to eat lunch. Plus, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes were sitting in the auditorium down there below the lunchroom. They did not know that I was not going to speak to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They did not know that I was going to give a little bread from heaven devotion. They did not know that I was going to rear back and preach like forked lightning. Back then, that's all I knew. I'm serious, a heart attack. It was open your Bible. Fire and blood coming out of my eyes. Veins popping out of my neck. And I said, how long I got? They said, 30 minutes. 29 minutes and 59 seconds. Wide open as a case knife, sucking wind like an old mountain preacher. I preached heaven high and hell hot. I said, thank you. Closed my Bible. And the lady who's over things, she's just sitting there. She had no idea. Half them kids was going. Little did I know, there was a student in that school. He wore a big, long, black trench coat to school every day. Had his skin bleached out all white. Painted his lips black. Wore a necklace around his neck, and from that necklace hung what he said was a vial of blood. He was a Satanist. Well, that very next morning, I was sent over there to work on some stuff in the boys' bathroom, Lithia Springs High School. Nobody in that place but me. And the Lord. I've got the urinal off the wall and got it all tore apart, and I thought I heard the door swing open. And when I turned around, that boy is on the opposite wall like this, sliding down the wall. That freak is sliding down the wall. I looked at him. I said, what's up? He said, I'm not afraid of you. If I'd have said boo, he'd have soiled his pants right there. He said, I'm not afraid of you. I had a pipe wrench in my hand. I said, I ain't afraid of you either. He went in the stall and closed the door, and I don't know what he was doing, but got a good idea. But I said, hey, mister, I ain't afraid of you. You still in there? Yes. I said, my God whooped your God. My God kicked your God out of heaven. Your God's going to burn in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And man, if you don't turn from Him and turn to the true and living God, He's going to lead you right there with Him. You say, man, you wasn't afraid of that dude? Truly not. Because I wasn't alone. And my God did whoop his God. And my God did kick his God out of heaven. Amen. I'm saying he's walking with me. He's walking with me. He's leading me, but he's walking. Why? Because he is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. You ever see that famous painting? It's supposed to be Jesus, and he's standing in this field with his staff, and he's surrounded by all these sheep. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's in a lot of those. You remember you used to buy those Bibles and you turn so many pages to have a picture, turn so many pages to have a picture. It's in all those Bibles, that picture I'm talking about. That's the way I feel tonight. That as the sheep graze and as the sheep move along through life, there he is. You know what he said, where two or three are gathered in my name?
Yes, sir.
Where did he say he'd be? In the midst. He's walking with us.
Yeah, thank God.
Preacher, what are we going to do about the finances? I don't know. He's walking with us. Let's tell him.
Yeah.
What are we going to do about they ain't got no job? If he's leading you and walking with you, tell him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let me give you this and I'm done. He's leading me. Not only that, he's walking with me. But look at that last verse. You say, how can he be leading me and walking with me at the same time? He's God. You remember what Brother Charles said the other night? Maybe it was New Year's Eve when he preached that message about God being over us and under us and beside us and behind us. And amen. Like Ray Stevens wrote that song about Santa Claus. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Amen. That's the Lord.
Yeah.
Santa Claus ain't, but he is. Amen. Watch verse 6. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall what? Shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not only is he leading me, but he's walking with me. Not only is he leading me and walking with me, but he's following me. He's following me. Goodness and mercy. Hey, Mr. Goodness, why are you tagging along after me? Well, the Lord told me to give you the same thing he gave David. He further instructed me to do this for the rest of your life. That's what he said. Goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. Now watch this. I'm almost done. I told you we're getting out early. Do you ever look at a Christian and you wonder why they're always happy? Do you ever look at some Christians and they always stand up and testify, but they never say nothing bad? They're always praising the Lord. They always seem to be like they're on the top. What is the deal with that? They decided to make the Lord their shepherd.
Yeah.
Allowing Him to lead them and walk with them, and hence goodness is following them everywhere they go.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Y'all getting this?
Yes,
goodness cannot follow you everywhere you go if you've not allowed Him to be your shepherd. You can't expect the blessings of God daily in your life if you're not following Him.
Amen.
To get the blessing, you've got to be where the blessings are.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
Thursday night, Miss Lamar and Miss Diane, they'll unlock that house over yonder. Some Thursday nights, there'll be 70, 80 people show up out there to get clothes. You've got to come where they are.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I want that goodness to follow me. Will you follow Him?
Yes, sir.
Amen. You follow Him, the goodness will follow you.
Amen. Amen.
I can testify to that in my life. How many can?
Yes, sir.
Can say, since I really, truly follow the Lord, I mean, we have our struggles, but God takes care of everything. Somehow it all works out. I don't know how. I don't understand how we got through this, and I don't understand how we got through that. I really didn't think we'd make it through this, and I really didn't see no way out of that. But bam, here we are. Say amen right there. You know what that is? That's the goodness of God following you. Because you made a decision in your conscience mind to follow Him. Amen. Hey, Brother Mercy, you think it's necessary for you to follow me everywhere I go? He said, yeah, make no mistake about it. He said in Hebrews chapter number 13, the Lord told me to never leave you nor forsake you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you just think back to times of your life when you're glad I was there?
Amen.
Amen.
Got that right,
Hey, Mr. Goodness, Mr. Mercy, when will you stop following me? When you're finally bowed at His feet. And I won't have to follow you anymore.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You better thank God for His mercy.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You better thank God for His mercy.
Yes, sir.
You could be homeless tonight.
Yes, sir.
You could be at 316 Peter Street tonight in Atlanta, Georgia, in the rescue mission.
Yes.
Wearing hand-me-down clothes. Eating hand-me-down food. No family. No home. Nothing to call your own. The only reason you ain't there is because goodness been following you. Goodness been following you. You say, preacher, thank God I still got a job. Goodness been following you. Preacher, my marriage is still together. Mercy been on your trail. My kids ain't on drugs. Mercy, mercy's been where you are.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah and glory to His name. I think I'll just follow Him. I think I'll just allow Him to be my shepherd. Allow Him to lead me. And to walk with me. And to follow me. Amen. Is He your shepherd tonight? Could you truly say, I know He's your Savior, but is He your shepherd?
Yes, brother. Praise the Lord.
I know you're on your way to heaven, so you say, but is He really your shepherd? I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to make up your mind. I'm gonna do my best to follow Him tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely, man.
Where He leads, I'll follow. What He feeds, I'll swallow. Amen. Somebody said, where He sends, He supplies.
Yes. Amen. Yes, He does.
You know what? I followed Him here. And we've struggled. But He's met our needs.
Amen.
He's met our needs.
Amen.
He's truly met our needs. Let's let Him be the shepherd. Not only individually. But let's keep allowing Him be the shepherd of this church. Let's let Him lead this ministry.
Amen.
Let's let Him lead this work.
Yes.
Amen. I'll say this, Brother Todd, y'all coming. Get a song if you would. I'm in a lot of churches. Pastors' conferences, camp meetings. And I see a lot of things that are great ideas that other churches are doing. I used to go to one pastor's conference and they would have how-to sessions all day long. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not dead against that. But just because it's right for one church, don't make it right for another. Just because it works in one area, don't mean it'll work exactly like that in another area. So I've learned over the years to say, God, this looks like a good idea, but is it for us? And the Lord say, no. Then I'll go to a camp meeting or a church somewhere and the Lord will highlight something and say, huh, take that home with you. That'll help you. Amen.
Yeah.
Preacher, why don't you do this? Lord hadn't led me in that direction. Lord hadn't led me in that direction. As soon as He does, I'm going to do my best to follow Him. Amen. Let's let Him lead. Let's take our hands off the wheel tonight. Quit trying to drive. Remember letting your kids drive sitting in your lap? They'd hold the wheel and they thought they were driving, but really you had your hand up under theirs. Do you remember them getting too aggressive? You'd go, whoa! Because they fitting to jerk you in a ditch. You may be fitting to jerk yourself in a ditch. Maybe you just ought to let go tonight and let Daddy drive. God leads His dear children along. He's leading. Problem is, we're not following. But if we allow Him to lead us, not only will He lead us, but He'll walk with us. He won't send you anywhere alone. He'll go with you. He said, come, let us pass over on the other side. When Noah and his family got in the ark, God said, come thou. and thy house into the ark. God was already in there. It's coming a flood, Noah, but I'm going through it with you. It's coming a storm, disciples, but I'm going through it with you. Those storms and troubles we preached about this morning, they're coming if they're not already here. But he'll walk through them with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If he's leading us, he's walking with us. If he's leading us, he's walking with us. If he's walking with us, he's following us with goodness and mercy. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I don't even know how to give the invitation. Maybe you need to be that lamb that come out and just bleat before the shepherd tonight. Say, Lord, I've left off following you somewhere. I've got sidetracked. I've jerked away. Something caught my attention and I've run off this way and I've run off that way. Lord, help me to get back to following you. Lord, please take the lead in my life again. God, dealing with your heart tonight, you come. Y'all go ahead and sing.